So the idea is that if we want to act properly in this world, then we have to recognize who the proprietor of the world is. Otherwise, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, we become stena. Deva bhava yata dena te deva bhavyantuva. Parashparam bhavyanta kriya param vapsita. Ishtan bhogi ivo deva. Dasinte yagabhavitaha. Tada tai apradaya ibyo yobungte stena eva saha. That in charge of the various necessities of life, the demigods supply all necessities to man. But he who enjoys these gifts without offering sacrifice to the demigods in return is certainly a thief. So people don't consider themselves thieves because they think that they're actually the proprietor. That is, that they don't recognize that there is a God. And they believe that if they don't recognize God, then he just goes away. If they don't believe in the laws of nature, the laws of material nature will not affect them. Just like a big, big ostrich, big, big bird, that if he's in danger, because the big, big bird, this ostrich, has a very long neck and a very small little head. When he's in danger, he believes that if he puts his head into a hole, then he'll be protected. Although his big, big body is outside the hole, and therefore the animal that's taking him as prey is not at all dissuaded from attacking the bird because his head is in a hole. Still, he has that thought. So we believe if we close our eyes to reality, then reality will go away. But reality doesn't go away. That the fact that this body is changing, if someone cannot recognize that, then they're considered to be crazy. If they don't have at least minimal intelligence to admit that their body is changing, but at the same time they themselves have been into so many bodies and therefore they cannot claim that they're changing. Because if they change, they wouldn't remember they were in a different body. You may walk out of this room and go down to the prasadam room, so you're in a different room, but if you claim, now I'm a different person, that won't be accepted. If they have a feast and they're serving out gulab jamuns or samosas, and they're only one for person, and you take one and eat it, and then you walk out of the room, and then you walk back into the room and say, please give me another one. And they say, well, no, you already had one. No, I went into a different room. So now I've come back here. So I'm a different person. So the room that the soul is in is constantly changing, but how can he claim that he's different just because the room is changing? So if we accept that, then we can accept also that not only we're not changing, but we don't even have control over our intelligence. That intelligence has to be supplied to us. Otherwise, why is it that so many people have intelligence, but they're not intelligent enough to understand that they're not changing? They can't even accept that. The one thing that we have experience of directly is ourselves. But if we can't even realize we're not changing, then we're still not changing. We just don't have any intelligence. That's all. We made big, big, big skyscrapers or skies and claim that we're very advanced. But what do they do in the skyscraper? Which we'll probably used to call them skyscrapers. What are they doing there? Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. They're not doing anything different from what they do if they were on the first floor and the 100th floor. There's no real achievement. If you sleep on the 100th floor, you don't get extra credit for sleep. If you eat on the first floor, you don't get any extra credit for eating on the first floor. The same activities are there, whether one is on the 100th floor or the first floor. But the real activity is to discover the self, the soul. Then the question is, why is the self, the soul, not aware of ourselves? Why has our intelligence been taken away? And therefore Krishna says, Dhyayato Vishayam Pumsam Sangas Teshu Pajayate. That we have experience that normally I may be very peaceful, I have nothing to do, but then if I look around for something to do in the material world outside of Krishna consciousness, and I find some object that attracts me, then immediately lust comes into being. And if I try to satisfy that lust, and I actually can satisfy it, if I get a nice strawberry ice cream cone, and I like it, then I want a vanilla one, then a chocolate one. Then it becomes greedy. If I get some satisfaction, obviously I'll want more, because the nature of the soul is to get eternal happiness. No soul wants just one moment of happiness. Every soul wants eternal happiness, because that's our nature. That's why we exist, for happiness. So why would we want unhappiness most of the time and just a little drop of happiness sometimes? No, we don't want any unhappiness. We just want perpetual happiness. And therefore, when we're not feeling happy, we're not feeling alive, and then we look around for something to make us happy or enlivened. And if we get something that gives us one drop, then we want another drop, obviously. If you're in a desert and you get one drop of water in a glass, it's better than nothing. And if you get two drops, that's twice as good, but it's not sufficient to quench one's thirst. And when we stop getting the drops of nectar, the drops of water in the desert, then we become frustrated and become angry. And we fall into illusion, thinking that I'm a victim. I deserve 100 drops. I only got 2. And therefore we become angry, frustrated. We fall into illusion. And we don't see why I'm only getting 2 drops of water. We don't understand how the material nature works. We become illusioned into more closely identifying ourselves with this gross and subtle body. And we forget who we actually are. It becomes very difficult to remember reality. And then the result of that is that we lose our intelligence. Even someone explains to us that we're not this body, and that we, by nature, we should be blissful all the time. We can't understand it because we have no intelligence to understand it. It's been taken away because we've chosen to misidentify ourselves with this gross and subtle body for enjoying the senses. And as a result, by the laws of nature, our intelligence is taken away. So we have a little inquisitiveness. If I'm not this body, why am I suffering? Well, then Krishna explains it. Because we voluntarily accepted the wrong desires. And we've accepted the wrong desires because we don't know the most important positive desire. We don't have the proper perspective that Krishna is the proprietor of everything. And that without serving Krishna, no one can actually get happiness, perpetual happiness. Yata tura mula nishe chinena triptyanti tatskanda bujo prashaka pranahara chayatendriyanam tataiva sarvahanam atiteja. If we water the root of the tree, then naturally the water goes to all the leaves and branches. If we supply food to the stomach, then naturally the different parts of the body are served. Similarly, if we serve Krishna, then naturally all living entities, including the demigods, will be pleased with us. And therefore, even the basic necessities of life will naturally be supplied by the demigods, such as rain is mentioned here. But if we keep on trying to feed each leaf on the tree, water each leaf or each branch, then we'll just be wasting our time. Not only the tree will shrivel up and die, but our whole effort is wasted. However, sincerely, we invent things to water the leaves and the branches. We may have a scientific method to water every branch and every leaf at every moment, but it won't actually have any effect on the actual health of the tree. So if we don't recognize we're eternal, we have no intelligence to see that, we don't recognize that we're not the controllers here, that we're being controlled by the material nature, and the material nature is controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then this idea of watering the root of the tree won't make any sense to anyone. We think that actually watering the root means to water my senses. Although however much I serve them, they never become satisfied. I never become satisfied either. But if we accept Krishna and we serve Krishna, and Krishna reciprocates and puts us under the internal energy, which is by nature enlightening and enlivening, then we can understand what the actual purpose of human life is. A little closer to reality. A little closer to realizing our eternality. A little closer to realizing how to understand things properly, how to get a clearer vision, so we know how to steadily engage ourselves in a way that gives us higher and higher levels of happiness and awareness. Therefore, everyone is performing yajna. If we don't serve Krishna, then we'll be forced to serve our senses, or our family, or our society. We'll be forced to sacrifice our energies under someone else's directions. So we have a choice. Either we work under Krishna's directions, or we work under Maya's direction, in the form of so many society, friendship and love, and ultimately our senses. So that's our choice. Now, trying to serve our senses, we know we can also utilize them in Krishna's service. We don't have to deny them. We simply do things in Krishna consciousness. Basically speaking, just try to accept, we have to try to, that everything belongs to Krishna, and that we should find out how to utilize whatever we have in the Sankirtan movement, because that's service to Krishna in this age. And ultimately, if we do it in a nice way, with care and attention, with the idea that Krishna will be pleased by our care and our attention, then Krishna will be very happy to reciprocate with us. And if we don't do that, then of course, then we'll be forced to perform so many other types of activities which will not help us come closer to Krishna. Or even if we perform things in the mode of goodness, in this age, mode of goodness will not be suitable to give us liberation, and even if we give us liberation, it's only temporary also. So the mode of goodness is welcomed, because in the mode of goodness we can understand what? The necessity of sacrificing for Vishnu. And if we're in the mode of goodness, we don't understand the necessity of sacrifice for Vishnu, then we're not in goodness, we're in ignorance. And if someone is supposedly in ignorance, but he's sacrificing for Vishnu, then he's higher than the mode of goodness. Of course, we don't recommend the mode of ignorance, because in the mode of ignorance, one will not be able to appreciate or understand very clearly why we should sacrifice and how to sacrifice for Vishnu, for Krishna. In any case, as mentioned here, if we can't do anything, we can't understand anything, at least we can chant Hare Krishna. And if we learn how to do that nicely, then gradually everything else will come. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
It's more related to the class yesterday. What does it really mean, this thing that it's said that Matajis should treat Prabhus as their own sons? Because the natural thing would be that they show some affection and then this affection goes in a wrong direction.
Well, we're not very cultured, so we have to be careful how we don't know, we're not so, neither we weren't brought up in such a way as our mother necessarily treated us as a proper son, nor did we work as a proper son. Therefore, generally, that's the ideal. that women have ideally they have, especially after they have some children, usually they have develop a more maternal nature. They learn how to deal with their children if they're a little cultured. And those children, if they have a good mother who actually is motherly to them, then they know how to act as a son also. They don't take, every time a woman shows affection, you don't think she's a potential lover. Well, because we're not cultured, therefore. We haven't been brought up in such training, therefore we have to be a little bit more cautious. We don't know how to properly relate to women, therefore better off not deal with them so intimately. Anything else? Yes.
In what situations Maya does not have power?
What situation?
In what situations?
Well, when the chanting of the holy name is there. Krishna, Surya, Sama, Maya, Haya, Andhakar. Krishna is like the sun, and Maya is like darkness. So if the sun's there, the darkness can't be there. So anyone who's absorbed actually in service to Krishna with the idea of trying to please him, then Maya won't be there. The sun's there, the darkness can't be there. But Krishna has to practice. As much as Krishna is practically there, then Maya will disappear. But that takes some time to put Krishna in our heart. But that's the practice of devotional service, to become qualified like that. Anything? Yes?
You were discussing reality. I was thinking, if we take the word reality a little bit more colloquial, way, then I find sometimes then I get information about a person or a certain project or something and is negative, and when I get there then I realize that the issues may be very minor or not at all. So then at the end it's not negative, it's positive. So then because philosophically then we see that we have to wake up to the reality that we shouldn't live negative, sinful lives.
Yeah, okay. Is that a question?
Yeah, it's kind of...
Well, we hear from the Bhagavad Gita. We hear from the Bhagavad Gita, and we try to develop, by assimilating the knowledge, the vision. So with the proper vision, then we know what to do. How to reciprocate. Krishna will give the intelligence. If we see things better than we do now, then Krishna will give us the intelligence how to act better also.
Yeah, I wanted to point out that might be like a problem, an issue for Krishna conscious community if there is a group of people or if there is this kind of trend to think negatively about something and someone.
The whole material world is, everyone is seeing things opposite the way they really are. So therefore, by the chanting, by following the process, it's hopefully that our hearts are cleansed so we can actually see things as they are. Yeah. One who sees things as Krishna says, Nanyang gunevyas kartaram drashteva unupashati gunevyas chaparam veti madhvavam sodigachati. When you see that there's nothing beyond the three modes of material nature, but the Supreme Lord is transcendental to them, then you can know my spiritual nature. So that's why we're taking to the process of devotional service sincerely, so gradually Krishna will enlighten us, and then we won't be negative, because we'll see everything as what really is, which is quite positive. Kuala Grantarai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Pramanande. For one who sees things as they are, the influences of three modes of material nature gradually ceases.